This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Jones and Keefe.
The 0-2 from Crochet. He struck him out. 98. He has 11 strikeouts.
2-2 to Stormy. It is
drilled high and deep into left field, at the track, at the wall, goodbye! Travers Story launches.
1-2, here's the pitch.
Swing and a miss, he got him! Chapman glares in at Taylor. Ball game over. The Red Sox win it 3-1. We thought we might see history from Garrett Crochet. He returns to Chicago. He dominates.
Jones and Keefe right now on WEEI.
Are you ready to recap a tremendous sports day yesterday, Keefe?
Oh, of course I am. I was born ready.
Are you sure you are? Are you sure you are, though?
No, probably not.
I'm not as into it as you guys are.
Look, we're going to get to Crochet, who was phenomenal, and the Red Sox.
What happened to the Sox?
Despite Crochet being awesome.
What's going on?
The Red Sox, I'm sorry, had a terrible weekend. Despite Crochet being awesome. Crochet was great. Rest of the team, not so much.
What happened?
It hasn't gone great for them.
You weren't flipping back and forth yesterday? No Masters yesterday?
No.
None?
Not really a Masters guy. I'm telling you, I could fake it and put it on. No, I'm not. I'm up to my eyeballs in Yellow Jackets. I'm binging Yellow Jackets because I got to do the podcast tonight. It's a show that I still love. Everybody else seems to hate, but I'm watching it. So I had to do that. I also was watching a little Garrett Crochet just strike out White Sox left and right.
Yeah, I watched that too. I flipped it. Not even for a second. You didn't flip over and go, what's going on with Rory over there?
No. I can't fake interest in Rory McIlroy. I know Shime is very passionate about it. He hates him. That's great. I think you won some coin.
I did. You know what? I'm happy
you asked. I remember that.
I won some coin on Rory.
Two hams. That's great.
If Oberg didn't choke on the 18th hole and finish in the top five, I would have had a real nice Sunday. Not that anybody cares.
Yeah,
thank you for asking. I won some coin on Rory. Thank you.
No, I mean, when Tiger was in it, it became much more...
Sick brag, bro.
Just for the record, I was asked.
When Tiger was in it, it was much more must-watch, whether you're rooting for him, against him, rooting for history, all that stuff. Since then, I don't know. I know Rory's super famous. Like there's a handful of guys that are super famous, but they are what, a tenth of how famous Tiger was.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know. There's other ways to spend my Sundays.
Billy, you must have watched.
Billy's up to his neck.
Billy, you were watching a lot of the Masters coverage yesterday, right?
Oh my God, pimento sandwiches just on my couch. It was get out of here.
So that's
I did see.
What does get out of here mean? That means you watched
I didn't watch a second of
Nick.
No, I was watching Crochet.
What?
Garrett Crochet.
No one watched.
I was crocheting.
Pump a gas.
I would rather crochet than watch golf.
I would rather crochet.
Now, Terp, I know from talking to Terp beforehand, Terp at least had an excuse.
He's a degenerate.
He was at the Celtics game.
Oh, yeah.
So he at least had an excuse for not watching. Although
good lineup they put out there.
It didn't end until like 7 o'clock, so he could have gone home and watched it.
I remember covering
None of you guys watch any Masters. None of you.
No.
That's unbelievable.
I remember covering a Celtics game years ago that Doc Rivers got thrown out of on Masters, and he basically, I think, did it so he could watch the Masters.
Yeah, no, he's told that joke maybe like 10 straight years. He's I got kicked out so I could watch Sunday.
I was there.
Hilarious, Doc.
Like, Masters is going on.
So, no, I mean, I get what you're saying, that there's no face of it, although Rory's pretty close. When it comes to name recognition and Q rating, he's not Tiger, but he's closer than a lot of the other guys in the mix yesterday.
Is he still going out with that Carolyn Wozniacki?
No, old news.
I'm a big WAG guy, Nick. I knew they were together. I didn't know if they were still together.
Yeah, you had some working WAG knowledge there.
I saw him. You weren't ready for another early humble brag?
Yeah.
When I was, remember the old golf tournament?
Deutsche Bank. Loved it.
So I got sent there one time. Big golf reporter. You can hit brag of the week.
Yeah, what are you doing back there, Nick?
Sick Thank brag, bro.
Where was that? So it was actually pretty crazy because, used to going to like the major sports, and we went to, it was like a press conference, and there wasn't a lot of people in the like the media section asking questions, but I went for both Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy. And then when Rory McIlroy gets up to leave, he is a tiny little man. You could stick him in your pocket, and yet he pipes it 350 off the tee. And you're like, how is that possible? He is a little dude.
Yeah, he's not a big man.
No.
So I also, if you want to keep that ready, Nick, I've covered a Deutsche Bank Classic in my day.
Sure. Sick
brag. Tiger, Mickelson.
Yeah.
Gonna wear it out today.
I don't know if I talked to Rory.
I saw Dustin Johnson, and I was following him for a little bit. Nice. You know who was there?
Paulina.
Speaking of wags.
Yeah,
she was walking around trying to be incognito. Yeah. I'm like, you're not really all that incognito.
It's Massachusetts. You're
it's
not
like
blending
bright
in.
Bright blonde, like the tightest clothes ever. And you're like,
Where is that Mansfield? Where was that tournament?
Norton.
You're in Norton. You are not blending in. They're toots.
No, we saw her.
Yesterday was, but even if you were at a golf tournament because of Rory, like that's as close to Tiger Q rating these days as I think you're going to get, even more so than Scheffler and guys like this. You had the drama all day long. It's him and DeChambeau. He blows the lead right away. DeChambeau takes the lead. Then he falls apart. Justin Rose out of nowhere. Rory should close it out on 18. He doesn't. He's blown the lead like 18 million times. He wins in a playoff. And at no point, you're like, I got to go check it out. Even for the drama of it. No. Even if you don't care about the golf, just the drama
didn't,
of a guy
didn't suck
choking,
in.
Falling apart. None of it.
No.
It was honestly excellent. You missed out.
I'm sure. It sounds like a nice little event. It was not one of my favorites. We were talking about the non-majors and the ones that we like. That's not really on my list. I think I watched more of it when I was a kid, and part of that was probably Tiger. And then also, I think I golfed a little bit more. I don't really golf anymore.
Yeah,
I don't have the time to golf.
So I don't golf either.
I used to like it. I sucked. I've always been terrible at it. But I'd go a couple times a year. Not much more than that, honestly. But at least I was a little bit more into it. And then I would watch the majors, and I'd watch the Ryder Cup. And that's just kind of phased out. You know, like a lot of things, like as you get older, and we're speaking to people that maybe you have kids, you sort of give up certain things.
Mm-hmm.
Like I used to watch every UFC event, every UFC event I watched for years. I can't remember the last one I've watched now. So it
wasn't even in your top five.
It wasn't.
Yeah.
Well, it's hard.
That's
to kind of
difficult to do. Yeah.
But you know, so like you sort of like to give stuff up, and we don't talk a lot of UFC on the show. We don't until right now talk about a lot of golf on the show. So it's like, all right, I'm not even using that for work anymore. So I'm like, all right, we'll just sort of like go away from it. But I'm glad there was great theater.
Well, and that's what it was. I mean, it had everything. A guy who was going for the career slam, who was very successful early on and won four major tournaments, and he thought it'd be a foregone conclusion, he'd do it, had this roller coaster yesterday. And really throughout the tournament, I mean, in the first round, he had this great first round. He falls apart. He double bogeys twice in the last three or four holes, whatever it was. He's the first guy to win at the Masters with four double bogeys in a round. So it tells you like the up and down nature, the back and forth. He's fighting.
What was his biggest lead? Because wasn't he at one point?
I think at one point he had a five-stroke lead yesterday. And, you know, he bogeys, he fritters that away.
Were you counting your hams at that point?
Yes.
Yeah.
Between him and Oberg, I had a lot of hams counted. And, you know, he fritters it away. I forget where it was. The 13th, I believe.
Uh-huh.
He doubled and then Rose birdied. And so it was like a three-shot swing. And there were two-shot swings right away where on the first hole, Rory blows the lead. Then DeChambeau gives it right back. And, no, it was great, great theater. And from that standpoint, whether you care about golf or not, just the person in there trying to get through and break through and do something they've been trying to do their whole career, sixth person in the history of golf to win the career slam, first guy in a long time outside of Tiger to do it. You know, you're talking about Arnie Palmer and Jack Nicklaus and Gene Sarazen and guys like this, Ben Hogan. And so to break through and do that was just good theater. And on top of it, he's fighting it. He misses a short putt 5 feet on the 18th hole where he could have won it. He has to go to a playoff where you think he's got no shot. At least I thought he had no shot. I was flushing hams at that point. And, you know, he's able to stick his second shot and then stick the putt to edge out Justin Rose at the end. So it was good drama, good theater. And I would tend to agree with Scheim on some level. If you were listening today.
Yeah, he said he choked.
He did choke. I mean, it was a choke-off yesterday.
Yeah, he should not have been.
Between Rose and DeChambeau and him, I mean, it was who could have the biggest choke yesterday?
Yeah.
But he wound up getting the win, and it was a good sports day. But I was flipping in to Garrett Crochet. You can jump in with all your thoughts on the Masters if you'd like. We'll take him at 617-779-7937. I'm not going to freeze you out, unlike these guys, on the Masters.
No, if you want to talk Masters, though, Jones is your guy.
But Crochet yesterday, I was drawn into the Red Sox more than I expected because I think they had a terrible weekend. Despite what Crochet did yesterday, they had a terrible weekend.
You can't really guarantee or expect sweeps, but the closest one would be the Chicago White Sox, who lost 121 games a year ago, and that's when they had Garrett Crochet. So now they're worse. Like it's a it could be a team that matches a historic loss total.
Going into this series, they have won two games all year. Coming out of this series,
2-10.
They've doubled their win total coming out of the series, and they could have won that game yesterday.
They had a winning record against the Red Sox last year, didn't they? Or no, maybe the Red Sox were 4-3.
I think it was 4-3 Red Sox.
But still, like the fact that it's anywhere close. And we were looking at this 10-game stretch that the Red Sox had ahead of them, including these three, and we were saying, all right, 7-3? 7-3? Like 8-2 would be great. Like just to knock off this 500 start. And you're playing a bunch of bad teams, White Sox twice, and then a Rays series, which starts tonight, you should go on a nice run. To drop the first two games, and the only win you get out of there is the Garrett Crochet game, and it's even that, it's like a nail-biter. Like, that brutal start, and we always say all the time, oh, it's early. Well, these games also count, and if they miss out on the playoffs, fast forward 6 months, if they miss out on the playoffs by a game or two, like, remember when they lost to the White Sox? A team that might lose 130 games this year, that is going to be pretty rough. It puts a lot more pressure on them now because they still can go 8-2, 7-3 on this stretch, but there's very little room for error now. Like you got to sweep one of these next two series and then only drop one other game to get where we wanted them to be.
So Crochet, if you're unaware, had a perfect game into the sixth, a no-hitter into the eighth. Ironically, the hit he gives up is to Chase Meidroth, who was in the deal for Garrett Crochet.
Yeah, he's a nice little player. Got to see him a lot this year.
He had a good weekend. Yeah, he made his debut this weekend. He had a good weekend for the White Sox. Red Sox had a terrible, terrible weekend. And outside of our guy Kyle Teal, maybe Chicago got a little bit more. I'm not regretting the trade or anything, but it's just interesting to see that's the guy that got the hit. Mm-hmm. And I swear to God, I don't even think Meidroth had rounded first base. And Cora's walking out to the mound to get Crochet out of there. He was at 96 pitches. I saw Cora after the game say something to the effect of, I've never been so happy for a guy to give up a hit in that situation, because he would have stuck with Crochet with the no-hitter. 96 pitches? Did they need to get Crochet out of there? I was screaming at the television when they took him out.
I didn't think so. We saw him go 102, 107 in back-to-back starts. Now, maybe that was part of the thought process, too.
Oh, I think it was. I think they're worried about the overall workload, and I don't know if they look at it in a one-game snapshot. You know, it's like how Robert Kraft looks at the salary cap. Every 3 years, you got to be in line. Maybe every three starts, you got to be at an X amount of pitch count or whatever. But Cora made it clear, like, if there wasn't a no-hitter on the line, Crochet would have been out before 96 pitches. And there was already an out in the inning. He was mowing guys down. He finished with 11 Ks yesterday.
Yeah, he was dominant.
I didn't see any reason to take him out. But, I mean, it didn't completely come back to bite him, even though Whitlock gave up a run there.
True. So the Red Sox are now 8-9. And they're 3-1 in games that Crochet starts. So one of the issues we had going into the year was, all right, Crochet's really good. I was talking myself into Walker Buehler. We're like TBD on Tanner Houck based on his spring and sort of the second half of last year. And then it was like injury replacements. So you're like, wait a minute. Like this rotation was very much kind of pieced together with duct tape a year ago. And now this year it's the same thing. Now at least you have Garrett Crochet. So it's not exactly the same thing. But for the first half, Tanner Houck was a legitimate all-star. So you did have a frontline guy last year. That's what you have this year, but not much else. Like now, we talked a lot about buying opportunity or sucker's bet when it came to the Red Sox winning the division because they were not the favorite. They weren't even the second favorite in Vegas. And maybe, I guess we're seeing why early on. Doesn't mean they can't rebound from this. They're, 8-9 to start the year. But the guys not named Crochet aren't helping you, and maybe more glaring, the lineup isn't hitting, right? Because we've actually seen a couple of good starts the last couple of days that have been wasted.
No, like the only guy hitting, Nick, what were you just telling me about Trevor Story? He's like our guy, Trevor Story.
Story's killing it.
He's like over 300, I think.
But he's like, but what were you telling me about? They were the only team in baseball that hadn't hit a home run all week,
so
or something.
They
like
hadn't
that?
Hit a home run in a week, and they led the majors like strikeouts teams that week also.
Yeah, they strike out a lot.
Oh, it was you like 62 strikeouts, zero home runs.
Fair amount. They struck out this weekend 29 more times.
They strike out 10 times a game.
They made 5 more errors. They still lead baseball in strikeouts and errors after
this weekend.
You want
a team to strike out and then boot the ball around? We got one for you. It is a disaster. Also, how about this? Rich Keefe's stats on the info department.
Yes.
Since scoring 18 runs against the Cardinals on Sunday Night Baseball.
Yes.
The Red Sox have played 7 games. Mm-hmm. They have scored 14 runs.
Not great.
So they're not even at one game. They haven't even reached that number yet.
And they're playing the Blue Jays, who are so-so, and the White Sox, who are one of the worst teams, we think, in baseball history.
That's right.
Yeah.
They are. Yeah, they might be. They have a good chance to be the worst team in the history of baseball. They were 2-10 entering the matchup.
So we talked a little bit about Crochet yesterday. I hated Core giving him the hook. Crochet was great. Crochet has been great through four starts. As Keith said, they're 3-1 in his starts. They're 8-9 overall. They just dropped 2-3 to the White Sox. Friday was a disaster. Saturday wasn't much better. A team finally got to Aroldis Chapman. But Friday, it was 11 more strikeouts, 5 more errors. Saturday, 11 strikeouts. They didn't make an error in either of the final two games. They got that out of their system with 5 of them on Friday night. I mean, Friday was a disaster. That's how you start that series. I thought the Red Sox had a chance to sweep. I said out of these 7 games against the White Sox, you got to take 6. Like, and I don't think that's asking too much. This team is horrible.
No.
This team's terrible. And not only did they lose the first game,
they got dominated.
They got drilled in that game, and then they lose an extra innings on Saturday.
Yeah, it was insane watching the Friday game because you're like, this White Sox team sucks. Like, this is a good time to play them, and then it's just hit. There's piling, they're running up the score on you. You're like, what is going on? And that's an issue. You can't ignore that. I mean, you lose 2 games, and obviously 2 different ways of losing the games, but you're booting the ball all around. The bats have completely dried up, and really the one guy you can rely on is Garrett Crochet. So right now, everything's kind of going against him. You know, it's funny. The game yesterday was kind of similar to Garrett Crochet's first game, even though he pitched a lot better this time around. But it was Willy Abreu was all the offense in the season opener, and then Trevor Story was all the offense in yesterday's game.
And that's pretty much how they've been rolling so far this year. So your thoughts on what was a bad Red Sox weekend, despite Crochet flirting with a no-hitter yesterday. Your thoughts on Crochet, his start, Cora giving him the quick hook. Cora, in general, overseeing another bad start out of the Boston Red Sox. Errors and Ks over the top for this team. You could jump in on it. Plus, your thoughts on the Masters yesterday. If you were watching, unlike these guys, great day, great sports day to sit down and watch. Rory McIlroy, are you happy for him? Something we'll get to coming up with all your phone calls, 617-779-7937. It is a mock draft Monday here on Jones and Keefe. We'll get you a mock draft, break it down, how it looks for the Patriots at pick number 4 at 10:45. And when we come back, the Red Sox and their issues. How much blame is on Alex Cora to this poor start? That's right after Trending with Billy Lanning.